and our series this morning on the life of Abraham, not knowing, but trusting. And the title of our sermon this morning, which is based on Genesis chapter 15, is basically faith over fear. But before we start, let's come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you that you are with us, present together. The Father God, you are with us and not to bless us. Lord, we pray in the seasons of our life. Lord, this is a difficult time, but Lord, we pray that we would know that, Lord, you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we pray that during this season that we will choose faith over fear, and everything that we do, that we will be able to bring you honor and glory, knowing that you've got it in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's get reading God's word. Genesis chapter 15, and it says this. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what will you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so as a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two and arranged them in the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. And as the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and the thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And the Lord said to him, Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possession. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried as a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites have not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, To your descendants I will give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river of Euphrates. And then on to all those other lovely places with the name of Ites. Well, the Lord has appeared to his servant Abram. And basically he tells him not to be afraid. Do not fear, because I am your shield and your very great reward. But what is Abram afraid of at this time? Is it the fact that the Lord has appeared to him in this vision? Is that which causes him fear? Or maybe is he fearful that he has just come out of this war with all of these, you could say, groupings of kings that came against him and his brother, or his brother's son, his nephew, Lot, and he was able to retrieve Lot throughout this battle? Or maybe is he fearful of the fact that the king of Sodom basically asked him to give him the people back and for him to accept all the plunder, and Abraham turned it down because Abram didn't want anybody else to get the glory for what the Lord had done or what the Lord had given him. Maybe Abram at this time, could he have been fearful of retaliation over his life? Can I ask you a question today? Are you fearful? What are you fearful of? Maybe is it that you're fearful that God would speak to you and that the Lord would require something from you? Or maybe that there is something that you'd want to hear the Lord say to you. Maybe the Lord would ask you to go somewhere or to do something for him or even to give up something. But let me say this to you, church, this morning. Whatever the Lord asks of you, we need to go in faith, believing that our God will still do good through us. That no matter what the Lord requires of us, well, let me tell you, he will give us 100-fold more. If the Lord called you to do something or to go somewhere, let me tell you this, church, the Lord will provide for you in that ministry. God will equip you to do that. The Lord will never send you to do something for him without equipping you first of all. Or maybe today you're fearful because it seems like, in fact, the Lord isn't speaking to you just now. Isaiah tells us that when there's sin between us and the Lord, that blocks out him from us, that we don't hear him, we don't hear his voice. But the New Testament also tells us, and we quote this verse regularly, but if we confess our sin, he is just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So friend, today, if there is something which is blocking you hear the voice of God, we need to repent and say sorry to the Lord and allow the Lord to come to us again. The Bible says if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And we come with a clean heart and clean hands through confession. But you know, sometimes not hearing God's voice isn't because we haven't done anything wrong, but because the Lord is trying to teach us something, like for instance, patience. Do you know, in the life of Abraham was 75 when the Lord first called him. And in this period of life, when the Lord appears to him again, they reckon that Abraham was about 85 years old. And even though we're going to learn today how God spoke in this situation and how God confirmed things to his heart, yet we see that it's not yet for another 15 years before Abram actually bears his own son. The Lord's promises may be slow, but they're sure. And when things don't happen as quick as we want them to happen, we can be sure of this, that God is at work in us and he knows what he is doing. Maybe your fear today is related to your circumstance. Or maybe it's the fear of man. Maybe an impact on your income just now. Maybe what someone might say about you, your reputation. Maybe it's the fear that someone could impact you emotionally or even physically today. But Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says this, keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Because God said, never will I leave you or neither will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Or what can mere mortals do to me? A couple of weeks ago, Jordan ministered in the Word. And remember, he said about hearing and seeing and speaking. And if it was ever a day to speak this over ourselves, speaking positively into our circumstance, this is a great verse to speak over ourselves. I say it with confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mortal do to me? So whatever your fear is today, you speak with confidence, knowing that your God is with you and he's in your storm and he's here to help you and nothing can come against you. The Lord doesn't already know and that the Lord is with you. What can man do to you? You know, someone once counted and said that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. In other words, there is one for every day of your year. But more importantly, we need to know that God is for us and not against us. We need to know, just as if you love someone, you would not want that person to live in fear, that we are loved by God. And because we're loved by the Father's heart, we ourselves should not be in fear today, because he set us free from that which would enslave us, that fear. Romans 8:15 says, "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about the adoption to sonship, and by that we cry, Abba, Father." Speak to your fear today, friend. Speak to that fear and remind your fear who your father is. The old schoolyard joke, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. Well, Father God is bigger than anything or anyone that would come against you today. Speak to your fear and remind them that Abba, Father did not give you a spirit of fear, but he died to free you from fear. Father has got you, and he's got your situation today, and he's got you in this pandemic today. There is no need for us to fear, because he is with us. Remember, you are loved. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Your perfect Father, who loves you, does not want you to be in fear today, because he's worked everything out. He's going to see you through right to the end. God's promise to be his shield, which is a promise in scripture that we hear repeated again and again, that the Lord is our shield. When a shield goes up, it goes up to protect us. It goes up to stop any arrows hitting us. When the Lord puts his shield up, we're behind his shield. We are shielded, we're protected. We are separated by what is coming to us by him. And the scripture in Romans would remind us that nothing will separate us from the love of God. He is before us, he is our shield. And you know, the Bible says he is your very great reward. You might be sitting today and you might not have very much in your life, but one thing you have in your life is this: you have got Jesus. And let me tell you, friends, if you've got Jesus, you have got absolutely everything you need today. He is your very great reward. And we know, as the Bible says, that those who diligently seek him already know that. They know the importance of having God over everything and anything else in their lives. Was Abram's fear this encounter with God, God speaking to him? Was his fear retaliation of those men who could have come against him? Or I just wonder, with the context of this chapter that we've been reading today, maybe was it the fear of the next step of Abram's journey? Maybe the fear that this promise that God had given him was not going to happen or be fulfilled in him. Remember, now Abram is 85 years old. This man realizes in his body, as is recounted again in scripture, that his body is near death. And yet the Lord has said that you would have a nation, that you will have an heir. Remember Genesis 12:2, you will be a great nation. Genesis 13:15, the land you will see I will give you, and your offspring will be there forever. In the remainder of this chapter, we're going to see this, that God in his great grace and his great compassion has spoken into Abraham's situation, or should we say Abram's situation at this point. And he repeats his promise. He goes on to remind him of his promise. And then he reassures him of his promise. Let's look at that first point this morning. How the Lord basically repeats his promise. You know what the Lord has said to us, but sometimes we just need to hear His voice again. Sometimes we just need to hear the Father said over us again. And friends, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We just need to hear His voice. And again, Abram is 85. The clock is ticking. He just needs to hear the voice of the Father again. When we read this passage, Abram saying to God, look, Lord, my heir is going to end up being one of my servants because you have not given me any children. Church, can I say this to you this morning? Never be tempted to believe because of your circumstances that the promises that the Lord has made you are not going to happen. Even if your circumstances seem to be the opposite of what the Lord has said, please do not let your circumstance dictate to you personally, you as your family, or even us collectively as a church, that what God has promised isn't going to happen. God will keep His promise. He who promises faithful, He is Almighty God, and He will create all that He wants and all that He needs to do within us, because sometimes the Lord just loves to surprise us with His majesty and His power. Look at verses 4 and 6 within this chapter. 4 and 6 says this, then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. This man's not going to be your heir. Abram, you're going to have a son from your own flesh. You are going to have your own boy. And the Lord takes him out and the Lord says to him in this vision, look up to the sky and count the stars. Look up, not look back. Not look down, not look around, but you look up and count the stars, and this is going to be your offspring. Church, a time for heart to heart this morning. One of the reasonings behind this series is what was such a difficult year in 2020, a year that we had started off as a church doing so great and so fine and looking forward to all that the Lord would do. And yet it has turned out last year was an incredibly difficult year for church, for churches everywhere. And now we've entered 2021 and already maybe some of the plans and the desires of our hearts again have had another setback because we have been able to meet together the way we would want to come alongside each other the way we would want to, and get out into the community and serve the way we believe we're called to serve. It was a difficult year. And as your pastor, friends, I do want us to lose hope that we are called of God to serve God, to see transformation in our lives and in the lives of the people that we're called to serve. I don't want us to become despondent because of the longevity of this pandemic, but I want us to get refocused to believe that God has still called us and God has a purpose for us, and we are going to see lives change. His promise was to build His church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against us. His promise is to present us spotless before the throne room of God. His work has not been completed in us, and He still wants to work in us to get us to that place where He wants us to be. So friends, even when our circumstances may not look good at this present time, are we going to be dictated to by our circumstance, or are we going to go with what Christ has already decided for us? And I hope as church that we will be that people who will continue to believe and go with what God is saying for us and to do, and not lose the vision that we are called to build His church. This is time to choose faith over fear. Faith over fear to see God at work in you and in me. In verse 6, Luke, we see, he says, Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. And we know that our faith in God has been credited to us in a way of righteousness. We're made right unto salvation because of our faith in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to encourage you to still believe in his purposes for you and continue to do those purposes, that faith would also be credited to us as being righteousness as well, that we are still called in this season to be his ministers of reconciliation. And if today you happen to have stumbled across this message, or someone from our church has passed this message to you, and you're not a believer just yet in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know by you putting your faith in him, in this season where there is such a lack of hope, by putting your faith in him, you too can have become to that place of righteousness. And I would encourage you to read a passage in the Bible, Romans chapter 4. You can Google it. Or if you need a Bible and don't have a Bible, if you contact us, we'll send you a Bible. But in Romans chapter 4, we learn that Abraham, because he believed God and continued to believe God, he became a follower of God, that was credited to him as righteousness. You see, there's this lie in the world today that the only way we can get right with God is to work for him and to nearly flip over our negatives by doing positive things. But that's not what the scripture wants us to do. The Bible tells us that it is our faith to believe him and to follow him is credited to us as righteousness. Abraham looked forward to the cross to believe that he needed to follow God with all his heart. And we look back to the cross, what Christ did for us there, and we believe on his death and his resurrection. And by doing so and following his way, we have become right with God. And we would love you to do that too. In the Romans chapter 4, it mentions the word justification. And by putting our faith in the resurrection, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we become justified, just as if we had never sinned. Therefore, we can come into friendship with God as we follow him throughout our lives. We would love to help you on that journey. As we're on that journey too, we would love to help you. Please do get in touch with us. Follow our email address and send us a message, and we'll get in touch with you and help you on that journey. In God's great compassion and great grace for Abram, with this amazing promise, he lets him hear his voice again and he repeats it to him. But secondly, we also learn in God's great grace and God's great compassion for Abraham that not only does he repeat the promise, but we also see that he reminds him of the promise. Let me explain what I mean. Look at verse 7. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you the land to take possession. Basically, what the Lord was saying to Abram was this. As was recorded in chapter 12, he told them to leave his father's household, to leave his land, to leave his relations, and to basically go to a land that the Lord would show him. And here the Lord is reminding him, look how far I've brought you. I've already brought you out of there. You've already started the journey. I have shown you the land that I am taking you to. He's reminded him that it has been his empowerment, his presence, journeying alongside him that has brought him this far. And I know, friends, in this bizarre season of life, it may seem that you have not really gone much further in your life or achieved much in this season. But the Lord wants to remind you that he has brought you this far. The Lord wants to remind you that he has been with you and he's been almighty in the midst of that. And church, it is important for us that we recount the blessings of God along the way of our journey, the faithfulness, the wins that we've had before, the battles that we've come through, and how God has blessed us in those times, the storms that we've faced, and he's been right in the centre of the boat with us, and it's been him that has spoke peace to the stormy waves in our lives before, and he's always brought us through, always provided for us each step of the way. We need to recount God's blessing to spur us on to believe more and to know that the Lord will never, ever let us down. It's good to count your blessings. Remember the old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. Do you know, I remember in the very early days when I was hearing from God and it was knowing a call of God on my life that a very wise pastor said to me, son, record your call, write it down, write down the promises of God, because you will face times in your ministry when you will need to go back to what God has said, and it will only be what God said to you will actually keep you focused and help you to continue on in the ministry. And you know, friends, that has proven to be valuable advice for me over the years. There's been times where in my humanity I have wanted to give up and to go and be a postman or something. Nothing wrong with being a postman, but let me tell you this. There's been times I haven't wanted to do what I am doing, but it is because God has spoken, and what God has said has kept me on in even the most difficult stages of ministry that I have faced. Friends, you need to be reminded of God's word over your life. And you need to be reminded of God's faithfulness, of how God has got you through each of those challenges within your life also. What is God saying over you? What has he said about you? What does he want you to be? What is he promising you? Believe in him, even though your circumstance may dictate differently. Believe and hold fast to what the Lord has called you to be, your destiny in Christ, no matter how far removed that may seem from you today. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And as we see in Abraham's story so far, even though he didn't always get it right and maybe didn't always obey quick enough or fully, he still kept on this journey of following God to the best of his ability. And in his humanity, God met him with his divinity. But Abram said to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? Trying to follow God to the best of his human ability, then he hears from God in his divinity. God repeated the promise. And sometimes, church, we just need to hear his voice again, him reassuring us with his voice again. And the Lord reminded him of his promise. And here, thirdly, this morning, we're going to see how the Lord reassures him of his promise through his great compassion and his grace. The reassurance of the promise. Now, just before we get there, I want to just maybe focus in a couple of wee verses here and bring a couple of thoughts to your heart and mind. Look with me, verses 12 to 16, and it says this: as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and the thick, dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in the country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites have not yet reached full measure. The Lord foretells Abram that his people will end up in captivity, and then they will come out in the Exodus that we know. Our dear Sister Esther, our elder at East Point, has often reminded me in challenges that nothing ever surprises God. God already knew what was going to happen before it would happen. And that reminds us, in God's foreknowledge, no matter what goes on and whatever the challenges may be, whatever the Lord brings you to, He'll bring you through. And here we see in this story that the Lord has said to Abram, there's going to be challenges in the people's future, but I will eventually bring them out and bring them out with blessing. And friends, today what we're facing, the Lord knew all about this pandemic. The Lord knew all about what was going to happen. And the Lord promises to bring us through, to fulfill His promises in our life, and to see His blessing upon our lives as well. Friend, didn't He tell us that we would face trouble? John 16 and 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I will overcome this world. Have faith over fear and believe in His peace today for your portion to see you through this trouble. Have faith to believe that He will bring good even in this circumstance. And in that verse in chapter 15, verse 16, it talks about how that the sin of the Amorites had not reached its full potential. You know, church, sometimes, as we've mentioned earlier, the promises of God seem to take a long time. Remember Abraham, 75 when called, 85 in this period of time, and we know that it's another 15 years until he sees his son in his arms. The Lord is often doing a work in us, maybe a work of patience, but there's other times the Lord is at work elsewhere. He sees the bigger picture, and He's at work perfecting that picture for us. Don't become despondent and disheartened. When the things that you hope for and desire to see aren't happening, believe me, God will be at work elsewhere, and God will still keep His word to you, and God will bring it to pass. Just keep believing in the season. Now here comes the amazing reassurance. The Lord requests of Abram to go and to get a heifer, a goat and a ram, a pigeon and a dove. And He wants him to sacrifice, to basically cut these animals in two, lay them out in halves, and then the two birds facing each other. Now, if you remember, this encounter with God happened at least the evening before, because the Lord told them to come out of the tent and to see the stars at night. So we can reckon that it started the evening before. And now at this period, it's coming to sunset of the next day. This encounter with God has been a long time happening. And in the midst of this, as He has to cut these animals, all of that took time as well. There was a lot of labor intensive. Then we see that He fights off the birds of the air, the prey of the air, the carcass, so that the carcasses aren't impacted by the birds of the air. No wonder this servant of God falls asleep. And it says that when that sleep comes over him, there is a darkness. He sees this vision of what's going to happen in the future. But after all of this, we see as darkness falls, that there's a smoking pot with a torch coming out of it that goes between these portions of these sacrificed animals. The Lord was making a covenant with Abram. It was an agreement. It was a contract that he would keep his promise. Now, historians would tell us that even in Abram's day, that this was a way the people would have made a covenant one with the other. And the two parties would have walked between these animals. In Jeremiah chapter 34, 18 to 20, we also learn that basically the reasoning behind doing this was this covenant was so strict that basically it was saying that anyone fell out of their agreement, that just like these animals were torn apart, so the very same thing would happen to them. Now, there are those that believe that Abraham was put through this marathon time with God to do all that he had to do, the visions, the labor intensity of cutting these animals and staying, as it would appear, up during the night through counting stars. All of this was that by the time of the covenant that he would be too tired to even get up and to walk through this. And there was purpose, because God wanted him to see it was a unilateral covenant on his side, that he would keep his promise, he alone, because he alone could only carry this promise and not Abraham. That pot of fire reminds us of the presence of God. Where there's fire in scripture, it reminds us of God's presence, and it was his presence that would come through, and it was him alone who would keep that promise. Isn't that reassuring, church? That God alone will keep that promise. Oftentimes we wander even in our faith, never mind the journey that God sometimes sets us on, but we think, Lord, will I ever make it through? How can I come through this? Because the Lord alone has promised, and his shoulders are broad enough to carry us. His promise, because he is faithful, will indeed see us through. And that is our confidence in this day. Child of God, in his grace and his compassion for our humanity, our God will repeat, remind, and reassure us of his covenant with us, his promises with us. And he who is faithful, well, he who's promised is faithful, and he alone will see us through. Today, friends, if you are watching this preach and you know that you need to get right with God, but maybe you're afraid to commit your life to God because you think you cannot carry this, I've got good news for you today. You don't have to carry it. The Lord did everything possible to make the promise of salvation secure for your life. You just have to keep believing in his death and his resurrection, following him, being obedient to his purpose in your life. And you too also will know righteousness and justification through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today, church, that you will be inspired, that you will be blessed, and you will be encouraged in your walk with God. Whatever you're facing, whatever the challenge may be, do not lose heart. Choose faith over fear, because he who's promised has proven that he is able to fulfill his promise. Let me pray Hebrews 13 and 20, 21 over each and every one of us today. Now may God of peace, who through the blood of his eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.